Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, welcome everyone. Please go to wiserliving.com. That's W-E-I-S-E-R living.com. And on that initial page, you will see on the right-hand side where you can get a Skype consultation. There's a pop-up that comes up. You should be able to put your name and email address there. You can click on the Wiser Living TV link and watch all of the Wiser Living YouTube videos we've uploaded. And by subscribing, you'll not only get access to these educational videos, but you will also be informed when a new video is uploaded. You can also get access to our archive radio programs at Wiser Living Radio, and you can check out the menu bar that lists all of the articles, programs, services, and Wiser Living seminars, recipes, and products, especially those recipes. You definitely want to go and check that out. So do take a look at it at your earliest convenience. Once again, check out wiserliving.com. Sign up. It's free. Just name and email address. Subscribe to Wiser Living TV. Follow us on Wiser Living or at Wiser Living Radio. Like us at facebook.com/wiserliving. And you can also connect with us at Google+, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Pinterest. Wow. This is Dr. Bud Wiser, and I am coming to you directly from the Wiser Living headquarters, and I would like to welcome each and every one of you today or this evening, depending on what part of the country you're from or the world you're from, because you've taken your time out to tune into this broadcast. I'm not only happy, but I'm grateful that you are doing this, because I know your time is valuable, and I am truly grateful for your participation. So over the next 28 minutes, we're going to add to our wellness experience, and I hope today's topic will be a very interesting one. I know it's interesting to me and some people that I've talked to this past week. So let me start out by saying, you know, for many years, the so-called nutritional experts have advocated a low-protein, low-fat, high-carbohydrate diet as the perfect diet for all of us. They promised that we would lose weight and lower our cholesterol at the same time and improve our health and fitness. Well, as most of us know by now, that turned out to be wrong, dead wrong for some people and seriously wrong for millions of other people. And instead of fulfilling its promise, it led to a rise in obesity along with a side effect called diabetes. Now, there are all kinds of diets on the market. And when I looked it up, it just amazed me. You have the South Beach diet, the paleo or the caveman diet, the grapefruit diet, the three-hour diet, which involves eating every 3 hours per day, the best life diet, the blood type diet, which advises people to eat certain foods based on their blood type. There's the cabbage soup diet, the flush diet, which is a low-carbohydrate, restricted-calorie diet. There's the French women don't-get-fat diet, which is based on the theory that French women don't diet. They don't count calories or skip meals. Instead of doing that, they develop a balanced relationship with food, and they remain thin. This diet involves eating high-quality foods in moderate portions. Moderate portions is the key word here. So instead of counting calories or cutting out certain foods, this diet promises that you'll be able to trim down without giving up all of the decadent things in life. Okay. Then there's the glycemic index diet. The promise of this diet is that if you avoid foods that have a high glycemic or sugar index, your appetite will decrease and you will subsequently lose weight. There's the hormone diet that focuses on hormone fluctuations that can negatively affect a person's weight. This diet is designed to sync your hormones with diet, exercise, and nutritional supplements and detoxification. This diet regulates what you eat and indicates the right time to eat to ensure the maximum benefit to your hormones. So if you work in a 9-to-5, this one probably won't work for you. Most of you have heard of the Jenny Craig three-tiered personalized weight loss program, which focuses on portion control, the macrobiotic diet, which is a blend of Buddhism and Western practices. This diet is primarily vegetarian with some fish and seafood, and focuses on natural and organic food. So I guess that'd be more along the lines of pescatarian, like that. There's the Master Cleanse Diet, which is a liquid diet used to detoxify the body and encourage weight loss. There is the Mediterranean diet of vegetables, legumes, fresh fruit, olive oil, and moderate amounts of fish, poultry, and red wine. And a lot of people probably like that one because of the red wine. But and then there's the New Beverly Hills Diet. I'm trying not to laugh because some of these titles are like mind-blowing. The New Beverly Hills Diet suggests that food doesn't cause weight gain. What causes weight gain is inefficiently digested food. Most of you have heard of or experienced the Nutrisystem diet that basically delivers the food to your door. Then there's the Shangri-La diet, which has one rule. Take 1 to 3 tablespoons of extra light olive oil and or 1 to 2 tablespoons of sugar water daily between meals. The theory here is that by consuming olive oil and sugar water, which has calories but little taste, you will teach your body to stop associating flavor with calories, which translates into eating less food. Okay. There's also the Volumetrics Diet and the Weight Watchers Diet and the Zone Diet. Okay, so what diet is the right one? If so, how do you find it? How do you get started? When I was looking over this, going, man, I mean, how do you choose what diet you should be on? Well, most of these diets, they actually work short term. The problem is that you usually can't stay on them forever. And once you stop, you gain back the weight you lost, and in some cases up to 15 to 30% or more of weight. Because your body is saying, okay, this is going to happen. Well, not your body, but your brain is saying, this is going to happen again. So let's prepare for it. So you gain all the weight back, and then you gain more, and then you're back on a diet. And usually it's not the same one. You go to a different one. But there are 4 time-tested, clinically proven gauges of health that you can use to determine your own level of health. They are your insulin levels, weight, blood pressure, and cholesterol levels. Most people are not going to use these because this is when you go to the doctor and they test it. They give you a blood test and they test all these things, and they probably prescribe something without actually explaining all this to you, which we at Wiser Living, we actually explain all of this. So those 4 factors are your signs that lead you to the optimal health highway. It puts you on the right highway, but there's some other things that need to be done. But what are your dietary needs? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, I would like to focus on 3 types of profile types and their dietary needs. When it comes to individual body types, when it comes to that, it would be very rare to find someone who represents 100% of the traits of one type, both physically as well as mentally. And because we are all genetically and biochemically unique, because of that, even with families that have the same genetic parents, the children may have different color eyes, different color hair, the skin may be a different tone, and even blood types when compared to their parents and or their brothers and sisters. And it's not unusual for someone to be one type physically and another type psychologically. So bearing this in mind, any system that you use should provide some basic direction for both the dietary plan and the supplement selection. Now, when I say supplement, I know most of you are thinking, you know, pills and stuff like that, but supplementation is actually, you know, the food that you're eating as well. So we have seen many attempts to generalize how a person should eat or exercise, right? You know, most of these methods have at least some merit. You know, genetics would be the most accurate predictor, because all genetic groups have had to adapt to their environment over time. Only a few genetic groups are left in the world, and you know, at least those few genetic groups have actually maintained their original genetic line, and that's why eating according to your blood type may not work. Let your, you know, Inuit, you know, up in Alaska, or some say Indians from India that have, you know, they've been there in their little, they don't call them towns, but anyway, towns for like generations, or any like even some of the South Pacific Islanders who have been, and some of these small islands that have been there for generations, they could probably use blood type, but most of us can't. However, in saying that, those who have done so have given us much valuable data about the human body's ability to adapt. Like I said earlier, even among blood relatives, there can be variations in eye and hair colors, height, weight, IQ, skin tone, even blood types, as well as other characteristics like your nervous system. So I'm going to embark on a ship that a lot of people don't like to go on, and that's science. You know, science and math, people don't really want to hear, but I'm just going to give Jess a little bit. I need to just lay this foundation. Your nervous system reacts in specific ways to various conditions, regardless of genetics or blood type. Your nervous system has two major divisions, the central nervous system and the peripheral nervous system. Central and, say, like arms and legs would be peripheral. And the central nervous system contains the spinal cord and the brain. The central nervous system equals spinal cord and brain. That's all you need to know. Spinal cord run down the center of your back, and the brain is on top. The peripheral nervous system also has two parts. One is the somatic. Somatic just means body. The somatic and the autonomic nervous system. I hope all this isn't making you guys nervous right now. Anyway, the somatic nervous system consists of nerves that send messages from the sense organs to the central nervous system and then to the muscles and glands. The autonomic nervous system controls the heart, the intestines, and the other organs. Think heart and intestines. The autonomic nervous system has two parts. It's like all these things got two parts, seem like. The sympathetic and the parasympathetic. The sympathetic has two paired ganglia, which a ganglia is just a collection of neuron cell bodies. So it has a two-part ganglia. The axons from which extend from the ganglia to the organ. Okay, so the sympathetic nervous system prepares the body for fight or flight. Example, if I stick a gun to your head, that sudden action increases your heart and breathing rate and decreases digestive activity. So I'll just boil the science down for that. Gun to your head, your heart is going to start beating. You're probably going to, you may start perspiring. Your pupils are going to dilate. Your digestive system is just going to stop working. All just like just done. It's not going to do anything because it's preparing you to either fight or flee. And since the sympathetic ganglia are linked, they act together in sympathy. That's why they call it the sympathetic system. So they act in sympathy with one another. On the other hand, the parasympathetic nervous system has functions related to, but generally opposite from the, you guessed it, the sympathetic system. And although these systems oppose each other, they usually act simultaneously. Now, sometimes the balance of activity may tilt more towards one system or the other, resulting in one side taking precedence over the other, just temporarily, or it may be continuously. Now, I've said all of that to say this. Just boil all that science, which is everybody's like, what is it? What are you talking about? Let me boil it down to this. Your metabolism and your dietary needs are unique. And because of the metabolic differences, one person will gain weight while eating only a moderate amount, and the other will remain thin while eating much more. They can just eat, just no problem. Metabolic rates vary dependent on several different factors, which probably includes genetics as well. Now, on the same plane, genetic differences strongly influence body weight. And unfortunately, for those who want to lose weight, lowering food intake leads to decreased metabolic rate. So if you adhere to a low-calorie diet, your metabolic rate will decrease and you'll burn fewer calories. In other words, if you want to lose, eat. If you don't want to lose, starve, and you gain. An example, a person may look in the mirror and say, I'm overweight or I'm obese. But on the inside, they're not eating right and everything. They don't eat like they should. And the body on the inside is saying, we are anorexic. So guess what it's going to do? It's going to store to save the organs, because the organs function, you know, basically on fatty acids for fuel. So it's going to store. And normally, this is a rule of thumb that I use. Wherever your fat is being stored, it's telling me which organ is being impacted. So if it's in your chin, your neck, I'm thinking thyroid, parathyroid, you know, under your breast, if you take a belt and go around your breast, I'm thinking adrenal gland. Gut, say your navel, abdominal, I'm thinking digestive tract, and so forth and so on. So, you know, when you look at that now as you look at that, there are basically three types and two extremes. There's a sympathetic, I mentioned that word. There's a sympathetic, or what we're going to call the S type, parasympathetic, which we're going to call the P type, and the balanced type. So you have sympathetic, parasympathetic, and balanced. Sympathetic, parasympathetic, and balanced. And then you have the extreme types. You have the parasympathetic extreme and the sympathetic extreme. So the balanced type is basically the individual that has the best of both worlds, which we'll discuss later. The sympathetic or S type, they have the fastest metabolic rates and digestive abilities that are the least efficient of all body types. And I say least efficient because they're the least efficient for converting food into stored fat as an energy reserve. You know, they eat, the S type eats, and they burn the fuel as they're eating it, as it's being broken down. So when it comes to appearance, they are generally taller and thinner than average. Psychologically, they tend to be more left brain with more natural analytical thought and organizational skills than the type P or the balanced type. And usually this type, say, like if you're in an environment, in a work environment, you put in, say, like a team in the office, or, you know, like in sometimes like in network marketing, these people are what they call the green people, the analytical people. They need to see everything in black and white first before they make decisions. Type S leans more towards sympathetic function than balance. The sympathetic nervous system, remember, increases the heart rate and the breathing rate, and it decreases digestive activity. So type S, they convert carbohydrates more into immediate energy than stored fat energy reserves. These body types can eat more carbohydrates than other body types without weight gain. I know, I wish we all could be type S's. Maybe not. Let's continue and see what it all entails. The extreme type S, they should try to eat mostly vegetable protein with low animal protein supplementation. Type S and extreme S's can eat animal protein, but they should try to stay with lighter forms like chicken and turkey several times a week rather than daily. And this type has difficulty digesting animal protein. And some find that eating only light protein, such as fish or eggs or even a vegetarian diet, to be more comfortable. So individuals that are type S are usually or can be or have an affinity to be vegetarian. And even, you know, if they're eating fish, like a pescatarian, are this type. A typical type S or sympathetic, their sympathetic plate would have 20% protein, 5% good fats, and 75% moderate or low glycemic carbohydrates. So they can eat a lot of carbohydrates. They can have protein. They don't need the protein every day, and it can come in different sources. But you know, all types need fat. Good healthy fats. So if you want, it's like if you want everything to work and you want to have put that key in ignition is going to be your good fat. Now, I'm not recommending this, but type S's can tolerate high glycemic foods without gaining weight. But remember, these types of foods can have health consequences, so you might want to stay clear of them. As a matter of fact, I would recommend you stay clear of them. All the processed, and that's all the processed sugar-laden food. Just look at the ingredients. The sugar is the first two or three ingredients you might want to put it back on the shelf. You know, wipe your hands clean and kind of like rub, you know, put your hands in front of your face and rub and like windshield washer them so you can forget what you just did. The next type is the parasympathetic or type P. Type P leans more towards parasympathetic function than balance function. The activity of the parasympathetic system, which I said earlier, is decreased heart rate, increased digestion rate, and in general, it promotes energy conservation and non-emergency functions, which is the opposite of type S. Because the parasympathetic ganglia are not linked to one another like the sympathetic, they sometimes act more independently than the sympathetic ganglia do. These facts explain why type P, and especially the extreme type P, are more prone than any other blood type to blood sugar abnormalities, fatigue, weight gain, and other related health conditions. The parasympathetic nervous system has functions that are related to and generally opposite from those of the sympathetic nervous system. Although the sympathetic and parasympathetic systems act in opposition to one another, they are usually active at the same time in people with a balanced function. But for the type P, this often is not the case. And so the type P, and particularly the extreme type P, have the slowest metabolisms of all the types. The type P converts most of what they eat. Now get this now. They convert most of what they eat and nearly all of the carbohydrates they eat into stored fat rather than energy. This energy conservation function is key to survival when food is scarce, which was good for the hunter-gatherers, which allowed them to go for extended periods of, without food. But we have food all the time, anytime, everywhere, 24/7. So we really can't equate with the hunter-gatherers because they have actually worked for their food. Type P's have a tendency toward rapid digestion, even loose and frequent stools. They thrive on protein, and they tend to never be satisfied with carbohydrates, no matter how much they eat. A diet high in carbohydrates, especially refined high glycemic carbohydrates, is a guarantee for weight gain, and this is due to their energy conservation capacity. Now, the extreme type P has the more extreme emphasis on these traits. So, as an example, the type P extreme will not only carry excess weight but be obese. So the extreme P, or the parasympathetic, nearly always needs help with their weight. So in appearance, the type P's generally tend to be average or below average in height and heavier than is recommended for optimal health. They tend to have soft bodies. The males tend to retain weight around the waist. The females retain weight from their hips down, the so-called pear-shaped. If they are extreme P, the extreme P type, they tend to be apple-shaped due to the excess weight. And since their metabolic rate is generally slower than the other types, they often have a tendency to appear younger than their age. Now, on the psychological side, they tend to be more right-brained, which is a factor that governs creative thought and communication ability. So people with the traits type P or the extreme type P are typically blood type O. But due to centuries of contact between the various genetic groups, blood type is no longer fully predictable. The type P is the worst suited for vegetarianism. There are overweight vegetarians, although rare, and these tend to be type P's who have chosen that lifestyle and are determined to stay with it no matter what the consequences are. Type P's simply do not efficiently deal with carbohydrates, which are the vast majority of a vegetarian's diet. Now, if a type P chooses to become a vegetarian anyway, they should supplement their diet with amino acids and follow vegetarian protein combining guidelines such as beans with rice, and which normally I wouldn't recommend beans with rice unless you're eating something that's going to slow the breakdown of the rice, because rice breaks down into sugar. If it breaks down too fast, you're going to have a blood sugar issue. So they should also take vitamin B12 supplements and have their blood checked whenever they feel unusual and or prolonged fatigue. So of all the types, this type should exercise for sure. And it's critically important for them, even though they tend to have the lowest energy levels and the lowest motivation to exercise. I mean, their food plates should consist of 50% protein, 10% or more of healthy fats, plus 2 tablespoons of essential fatty acids from nutritional oils daily, and 40% low glycemic carbohydrates. Type P's would benefit from eating smaller meals 5 to 6 times a day rather than 3 heavy meals. Now then there's the B type. The B type is the balanced type. It's funny how when it's something that's balanced, it's not a whole lot to talk about. You know, in general, they eat and digest the complete range of foods available to humans from all food groups with relative efficiency. They comprise the majority of a healthy population because the nervous system of a healthy individual is designed to work in balance. This type is the truly balanced omnivore, and it's not and they're not suited for vegetarianism. Not those vegetarian diets. They're not suited for it. Even so, even saying that, a properly educated and dedicated type B or balanced person can do well on a vegetarian diet with proper supplementation and vegetable protein combined. Now, I say that so, but you know, because there are people out there that are doing this, but you're really going to have to watch what you eat. Type B traits are most frequently blood type B, but I'm a type B, and my blood type is O. So you can't, once again, due to centuries of contact between various genetic groups, blood type, once again, you can see the blood type is no longer fully predictable. And even though they can eat from all of the groups and weight management is not often a severe problem, the type Bs should still avoid all high glycemic carbohydrates. Matter of fact, every type should. But they will do well with moderately glycemic and low glycemic carbohydrates. Now, the food type of a type B consists of 45% protein, 5% saturated healthy fats, but these fats may exceed 10% or more when adding essential fatty acids to the mix, and 50% moderately to low glycemic carbohydrates from fruits, vegetables, and some grains. You got to be careful with grains. Most people should probably eat less grains because usually the grains that they do consume are not the grains that we should be consuming. They're not the grains of 2,000 years ago. A final note on monitoring your wellness plan of action. If you begin to take the necessary steps to improve your health, you may find that in 2 to 6 months, a 2 to 6 month period, your type may change. Because the type you are now may not be your original type. So please listen to your body. And I think that's probably one of the difficult things, and to make it easy, listening to your body means to pay attention to foods that agree and disagree with the one and only you. So that means you might have to journal it, chart it some kind of way until you find that proper mix. I know for me, I look at if I'm going to eat red meat, I eat it with a carbohydrate that's going to cause a slow insulin release, you know, meat with vegetables. You know, if I'm eating rice, corn, or potatoes, organic, obviously, I tend to mix that with fish and chicken and so forth. Pork, I'll leave that for another day. But thinking of these types, you guys, dieting should be a way of life. It should not be something that you want to lose quickly and then, you know, go off to something else. It's not the same thing. Many of you that are listening in now, if you want to find out what your type is, why don't you send us a little note to wiserliving.com or wiserliving@gmail.com, and we'll give you a free assessment and tell you what your type is, and you can take it from there. So with that, let your food be your medicine, and let your medicine be your food. Thanks, and we'll see you next time.